simply record the talk and the meditation. If you do have a phone, if you could set it on, if you could set it on quiet, and if you're somebody who likes to do a lot of texting, this would be a good time to practice not doing that. To actually be present and available. So, let me just make sure this is on, and then we can, good. All right, so in the Eightfold Path, the Buddha devotes three of the eight specifically to meditation. The Eightfold Path is broken up into wisdom, virtue, which covers right speech and right livelihood and right action, and then bhavana, or meditation. So tonight I'm going to talk about those three wings of meditation and how they differ and how they play an active role in our practice and which times they're most suited for and what they develop. So the first type of meditation that the Buddha... and of course, I love to give talks where I try to cram too much into too little time. So this will be a case tonight. I'm just giving an overview. The first type is Samavayama, which is basically covers a type of meditation that involves knowing if whatever is going on in our minds is appropriate for the situation we're in. And if it's not, changing whatever thought or thing we're focusing on to an appropriate topic. Now, this is something we actually do almost every day, certainly every day in our lives we do this. For example, today I went to Chinatown. I had a nice meal of dim sum. And while I was waiting for the dim sum to come, I noticed that my mind was suddenly worried about something that I had no ability to do anything about while I was in a Chinese restaurant, namely going on a trip to Asia, and I haven't done too much research into it, and suddenly I got concerned about that. And so I noticed that the thought was creating anxiety, was not conducive to building up an appetite. And so I changed the thought to, okay, what the fuck am I going to talk about tonight here? And that seemed like a more appropriate thing to think about, because I can think about a Dharma talk without it causing too much stress, and it was actually something that I could do something about. Later on, when I was riding my bike through Chinatown, however, you have to be pretty cognizant of what you're doing when you're riding your bike anywhere in the city. And so at that point, practicing or preparing for my Dharma talk in my head was not a good idea, because I wouldn't be aware of what's going on around me. So I dropped that thought and I was just focused on what I was doing. Then when I got home and I was meditating earlier, I focused my mind on the breath rather than thinking about the talk tonight or about the trip, etc. So you get the idea. There's times in our lives when we set a focus or an intention, and if whatever we're doing doesn't match that, we change it. So this works quite well if, A, we're aware of what the fuck we're doing in most of the situations in our life. If we know what the intention is and why we're doing what we're doing. But there are situations in life where we lose track of where we are, what we're doing. For instance, we might be waiting for a subway to come, or we might be stuck in traffic, or we might be in a situation at work where there's nothing to do and we're waiting. And so in those situations where we don't really think there's anything important going on, the mind will often wander. And when the mind wanders freely, as a lot of wonderful clinical studies show us, most recently by Harvard, it wanders to places that are not very healthy for us. Generally, we'll wander to self-centered thoughts. What's going to happen to me in the future? Why don't I have enough money? Why am I not more popular on Facebook? Why did I say this or that earlier in life? Etc. Things that we have no control over that cause anxiety. So the core of this first type of meditation is knowing throughout the course of our practice what our skillful intention is in everything we're doing. And then deciding whether the mental content we have is suitable for that. If you find yourself in a situation like you're waiting for a subway or you're taking a shower and you don't have a next right thing to do, I'll give you a hint what it is. The Buddha said, if you don't have a suitable intention, if you don't know what it is you're doing in any given moment of the day, just decide that your intention right there and then is to establish peace of mind for yourself. So if you're waiting for a subway or you're doing something and you don't really have any purpose, have the attention or intention to be, what can I do right now that will bring about peace of mind, happiness, freedom from suffering? And if that's the case, you set your intention, then you ask, okay, this thought that I have going on in my mind, is this conducive to that? If the thought is about something that you have no control over, is about something that is completely based on speculation, like what other people think about me, what will happen to me in the future, comparing ourselves to other people, etc., it's not a thought that's suitable to peace of mind. And so in that situation, the Buddha says, well, you've analyzed the situation you're in, you know what you're doing, you know that the thought isn't appropriate, so you switch it to a thought that's appropriate. And if you're ever in doubt of what kind of thoughts are always appropriate for peace of mind, the Buddha said there are four, which are the Brahma Viharas, namely kindness, thinking thoughts of forgiveness and kindness to ourselves and others, compassion for ourselves and others. There's appreciation. There's gratitude. Gratitude lists are extremely useful. There's reflections on generosity, times that we've been helpful to others. There's times when we can reflect on our virtue, you know, when we could have done something particularly mean, but we chose not to, or the times we've done something that were helpful for other people. We can reflect on peace, times that we've attained any great moment of ease in our lives. We can reflect on people that we feel a sense of esteem for, teachers, people we feel safe with, people who've been helpful for us in some way. So these are all the different kinds of skillful thoughts we can have. So in summary of Vyama, it's a meditation that's based on actively knowing what's going on in our minds and knowing if it's appropriate for whatever we're doing. And if you're interested in reading more about it, there's a wonderful sutta the Buddha taught called The Five Ways of Removing Distracting Thoughts, where he talks about what kinds of thoughts are most sticky to the mind and how to replace them. And I've given a number of talks on that sutta, so you can just... but there's lots of talks on that sutta. You can look at mine or any other teacher's talks. So the second type of meditation is mindfulness. Mindfulness, in a sense, is a little bit similar to the first type of meditation in that we're aware of what's going on inside. But unlike the first type, we're not replacing anything. Mindfulness is based on seeing or noting every state that arises in the mind, every situation in life, and simply seeing how does it affect the breath and the body? How does it affect my feelings? Am I anxious or am I relaxed and happy? How does it affect the mind overall? Does the mind feel jumpy? Or does the mind feel spacious and calm? What kinds of thoughts are going on? So mindfulness is about, no matter what's going on in our lives, bringing some of our attention internally focused. I might be having a talk with you guys right now, but I can be mindful. I can note if I'm breathing fully. I can note if my shoulders are relaxed. I can note if my stomach is relaxed, even while I'm talking. It's a very centering meditation, and that no matter how much I want to be pulled into what's happening externally, how you guys are reacting, what kind of facial expressions you have, what your posture is like, or whatever my mind wants to flow out of my internal awareness, I can reel it back in and just note, how is this situation affecting me? So if we're at work and there's somebody that causes anxiousness for us, or if it's the first moment in the day of work where we tend to be a little bit queued up and upset, what we can do is say, okay, what's going on inside? How's the breath going? How does the body feel? What kind of feelings in general are going on? All that I can read, and then I can relax. Mindfulness is a non-judgmental meditation. Unlike the first, where we're judging whether the thought that we have going on is appropriate for whatever we're doing, in mindfulness, we don't judge whatever we're doing. I can be with somebody that I really find very difficult. I can be in a situation that's very challenging. I can even be having very, very self-centered thoughts. And in every situation, I don't change what's going on. I simply say, okay, while this obsessive thought is happening, or while this person I don't like is prattling on, how is it affecting me? How is it affecting my breath? How is it affecting my body? So I'm constantly seeing how the breath, the body, the feelings, and the mind are affected by what by each situation in life is. I'm not changing anything. All I'm doing is I'm developing acceptance. For those of you who are in 12-step programs, Bill Wilson at one point said that the secret for all recovery is developing acceptance of life. And this is very, very much related. We're not about changing the thoughts. We're not about changing the external situations of our life. We're simply noting how every thing that we experience, we react to internally. Once we experience that, we can very gently, if it is possible, open to developing a very healing, compassionate awareness, which will relax us so that we can develop an amazing amount of tolerance for all the different situations in life. The beauty of mindfulness is that the Buddha said it's appropriate throughout. So if there's ever any doubt about which meditation to use, the Buddha said that mindfulness is always appropriate. The first meditation we talked about, noting if the thoughts and perceptions are appropriate for what we're doing and changing them, the Buddha said that that's good for when we have a very uninspired, tired, kind of sluggish mind state. It energizes the mind. It develops setting intentions. It's very goal-directed. It's very driven. It develops effort in our spiritual practice. So, those are the first two. And finally, the third type of meditation the Buddha talked about is, of course, concentration. Now, unlike the first two, where we are aware of what's going on inside, the concentration is about establishing something to focus the mind on, and no matter what, keep bringing the attention back to that object. So we're not analyzing where our mind naturally wants to go or whatever thoughts have developed. We are saying, right now, I want to focus on this. The most common themes for concentration are the breath, focusing on developing a calm breath, focusing on relaxing the body, metta, repeating thoughts, may I be peaceful, may I be free of stress and suffering, may I be happy, may I find true peace within, may all beings be peaceful, etc. So they're often repeated phrases, or the breath, or the body. And there are actually 40 subjects for concentration practice. Concentration is really wonderful for a number of reasons. A, we live in a society that doesn't develop it very well. We live in a culture where people have short attention spans, where we're not very capable of focusing on anything that requires a sustained level of attention. Concentration is the only kind of meditation that can develop what the Buddha called the jhanas, which are the highest states of peace and joy attainable in meditation. You can't attain the jhanas in mindfulness or in the analytical meditation. The only way to develop the jhanas is through concentration, because when we focus the mind, eventually the mind becomes so still, it's no longer jumping from one subject to another subject to another subject, that it becomes very, very, very silent. And when the mind becomes silent and peaceful and it's not jumping around, that's when we can really begin to expand into a mind that's very, very silent and serene. In Buddhist practice, the quiet, serene mind is very deeply associated with the pleasurable mind, the joys of practice. So, concentration meditation is extremely useful for when we're agitated, when we're worried, when we're anxious. Obviously, when we have thoughts that are really distracting the mind, when we're really in a place where we can't calm down, when we're really, really worked up, breath-focused meditation is extremely useful. It's also the most useful meditation for panic attacks, for anything that sets up the body into a hyperventilation, a triggered response. When we're having a panic attack or when we're really worked up, very often mindfulness and analytical meditation is pretty much powerless in working with those situations. I've found when I've had real strong anxiety that taking the mind to the breath and taking really deep breaths almost immediately triggers what's known as the vagus nerve, which releases serotonin and stops the release of cortisol, which triggers panic attacks and stress. So in the situations in life where we're really worked up, we're really anxious, we're really caught up, concentration on the breath, the body, is the most useful. It also develops a very noticeable improvement in one's patience, because the more we work with concentration, we can't beat ourselves up into staying with the breath. We have to do it in a much more gentle, patient way, just continually bringing the mind back again and again and again and again, like we're training a puppy, as it were. So those are the three types of meditation to review. The first is noting whatever thoughts and perceptions you have and asking if they're appropriate, and if they're not, changing them to a topic that's appropriate for peace. The second is simply greeting everything that arises in the mind and simply noting how it affects the breath and the body, the feelings, the mind itself, and simply allowing and developing tolerance. This is what Ajahn Chah called the one-seat meditation. We greet everything, but we don't allow whatever arises to pull us away. We stay present. And the third is concentration. We set a topic for us. We stay with it. We don't allow the mind to develop whatever it wants. We keep bringing it back again and again and again. The second one, mindfulness, allows anything to arise, and it just notices how it plays out in the breath and the body. So, find a comfortable seated position. What I'm going to do tonight is I'm going to step us through each of the three, and then you can, in the second part of the meditation, you can choose whichever kind you want to practice and continue developing it. So, closing the eyes, When we close the eyes, we let obviously go of sight, which is the sense that pulls us away from awareness of what's going on within. So we're first going to develop a mindful awareness of sound, just hearing the sounds that are going on in the room. And we're not going to judge. We're not going to go out in search of sounds. We'll just allow sounds to occur. And instead of judging the sounds or visualizing the sounds, just notice how each sound, if it begins to challenge or become irritable, or if we like a sound, just notice how it plays out in the breath and the body. So letting go of the sounds, allowing them just to be in the background, and bring your awareness to the body sensations. Bringing the awareness up into the top of the head and slowly scanning down through the body. And the practice here is first to notice what's going on in each area of the body without judging it, and then after you become aware of the sensations, then invite each region to relax and settle, trying not to visualize how we look externally, just feeling the sensations within. And this too is a mindfulness practice, awareness practice. I'll name a few areas. Softening the eyes if they're moving around behind the eyelids. Allowing the jaw to hang comfortably. Releasing the muscles in the neck so that the shoulders fall away from the ears. And continuing this releasing of the muscles in the arms. Softening the stomach so that it isn't being tucked in or feeling contracted. Releasing the buttocks, allowing them to settle, and then the thighs, just allowing the upper body's weight to firmly plant us in the cushion, and then releasing all the muscles in the leg. So at this point, allow the bulk of the body sensations to recede a little, and just keep in the forefront of your attention, the breath, the movement of the in-breath and the out-breath, and just at this point we're going to develop breath concentration, which means we're going to develop a breath as calm and as relaxing as possible. And one way we do this is see if you can begin to allow the awareness to spread down into the body from where it normally situates itself up in the head, so that the breath, the movement of the in-breath and the out-breath becomes larger and larger in our awareness. If we're anxious, try to make the out-breaths as long and full as possible. If we're tired, try to make the in-breaths as full and deep. And if the mind feels jumpy and unbalanced, try to develop an awareness of the pauses in between each breath. Every time the focus moves away from the breath, just bring it back again and again. Trying to make the breath as comfortable, full as possible. allow the breath to recede a little bit, knowing right now that our intention is to develop peace of mind and calmness. Allow whatever thoughts or perceptions to arise in the mind, and then note, as each arises, is this a thought that's conducive to peace? Is this a thought that just states itself once, or is this a thought that wants to chatter? Is this a thought that is about generosity, or gratitude, or kindness, or something skillful, or is this a thought that wants to take me away from the present moment? And just practice bringing skillful content to the mind. And now for the last 10 minutes of the meditation, which will all be in silence, you can allow whatever thoughts or perceptions or images that want to arise, and instead of changing them or analyzing them in terms of whether they're conducive or not, simply note how each event that arises in the mind, how does it affect the breath and the body, the feeling, tones? How does it affect the mind itself? Does it make the mind more peaceful or more agitated? So greet everything and then note, how does it affect our inner state? And if at any time you decide you want to change the type of meditation to concentration or back to analysis, that's fine.
All right, so we're going to begin a very gradual transition from the meditation to external awareness. So as always, the key is to do it very gradually so you bring any calmness with you. And when the time comes to open the eyes, it's best to not simply look around the room and toss away any or all the internal focus that we've developed, but first to look at the ground in front so that we can skillfully reintegrate sight into all the other senses and awareness. Sight tends to be pretty dominant, and if we simply throw it into the mix, it'll take over all of our awareness. So when you're ready, you can open your eyes.